Now I'm going to have that Buster Poindexter song stuck in my head all night. You guys heard it a week ago. If I'm not a slacker, you heard it a week ago. And but we just put that sound, little edit together.
Yes.
Bottle opener. There we go.
Okay, I was just... We were talking about something geeky. Why we were geeks? Because we did the boiling thing. And I remembered that this thing that I actually told you about, and I tweeted about it, but forgot to mention it on the show, which is that, remember when we had the Erdinger Weiss beer? Okay. And they have a listing of calories and kilojoules of energy. Because calories are a measure of energy, and so are kilojoules. And the nice thing about kilojoules is you can pretty easily convert them to gigaelectron volts. And we also know that, or we suspect, rather, that the Higgs boson is at 125 gigaelectron volts. So I did a nice, you know, Wolfram Alpha is great for doing this conversion. So I did the conversion of 185 kilojoules to gigaelectron volts and divide that by 125. And therefore, you have 9.23 trillion gigaelectron volts. Or rather, 9.23 trillion Higgs bosons that can be created in this beer, if you were to take all the energy.
The energy, right, right. Yeah, if you just did an energy transversion.
So I thought that was very silly and stupid, and yet here we are. So this is the Poppering's Hummel Ale. Which is this little bottle. There was actually a much bigger bottle when I went to VE. That's a nice story I can tell. Yep. We've talked about how I work in West Virginia, in the panhandle, the northern panhandle of West Virginia. And I also talked about how that's in the middle of nowhere. Well, the interesting and kind of nice thing about working in the middle of nowhere is that by being in the middle of nowhere, you're surrounded by somewhere.
That's a good way to put it, actually. Yeah.
So it turns out that, you know, to the north of where I am, relatively short distance, about 35 miles or so, is some very good beer stores in Ohio. In fact, some world-renowned beer stores in Ohio.
Yeah, yeah.
At least one of them.
Boardman, Ohio, just south of Youngstown, there's Vintage Estates, which is, like, if not the best, ranked top three, you know, beer stores right now. And it's a heck of a place.
Yeah, it really is.
And it's
is.
Not too far from here either. You can cruise out the turnpike and be there in 40 minutes or so.
Sometimes it's not as easy to jump on the parkway. It can be kind of trafficky. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, where I am, it's easy to get there because there is no traffic out
right,
that way.
Right. Just cruising the back road or something.
Yeah, basically. This was, you know, 5 o'clock on, I guess it was a Friday, and there was no one on the road virtually, so. Once I got into, into where VE was, there was a little bit more traffic. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice going there. I think I've said this on the air, but it's a double-edged sword going to Vintage Estates to buy beer. And that is, it's Ohio, so the same beers you can get here are often cheaper. Mm-hmm. But then there's a whole new bunch of beers that you can't get here.
Yes.
And those aren't necessarily cheaper.
And that's... It's not only that.
I should say those aren't necessarily cheap.
They're not necessarily cheap, but the thing is that I'm not going there to do a weekly beer run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going there to get a special load of beer, and I spent about $150 worth of just buying beer, all for the show. Really, I think we had one beer that last Friday,
right?
We drank. Stillwater's Sage Saison. And it was interesting. But all these beers, you know, I've bought them for the show.
Yeah, my bill was much the same. You know, I ended up buying brewery beers and, you know, rare barrel-aged Hoppin' Frogs and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I remember bringing them 11 bottles of beer, less than you did. And yeah, the bill was like $130. So.
Yeah. Oh, you still owe me $11.
Oh, sure thing.
It's okay to do it now. I bought a as I was leaving, Jeff tweeted me that tweeted he now everything's a tweet now, even though it's not. Jeff texted me that Heather wanted Hennepin. I guess Heather is now into...
She's starting to, yeah. She likes Hennepin, which is by far the cheapest beer she's liked. Other beer she's liked is Lindeman's Frambose and Worldwide Stout. Not things you can keep in the fridge. Hennepin you can keep in the fridge. Yeah, there's the pho that I went to. Bright pho. I don't know. That wasn't the name they had on the marquee outside. It was like Vietnamese noodles, or it was like pho Vietnamese noodles or something. Went to pho today. And the guy's like, we're down the strip going to pho. I'm like, oh, we're going to Vietnam's pho. And with this fancier, upscaler looking one. The pho was still very good. And they messed up my order. It was an order by number thing. And it looked like I was ordering the tendon pho. But I guess I just was ordering one that was spiced different. And you had to pick your meat. And since I didn't specify a meat...
They just threw it all in there?
No, it was just a sliced beef, whatever. It was good. It was very good. And I asked, where are the tendons? She's like, oh, and she told me how I ordered wrong. She brought me out a side of tendons. I dumped them in the pho. Oh, but they... Last time Greg and I went, they slow cooked these tendons forever. They were so tender. It was like scallop. You know, it was like that tender. It was kind of that texture of a scallop. So amazing. And this time it was more like, yeah, I'm eating tendon. You know, yeah. It was still okay, but it wasn't amazing. Completely gelatinized, where all connective tissues broke down. Tendons are a nice... Fantastic. I mean, for a piece of crap, you know, and leftover.
The other thing is,
piece of the animal.
I'm not sure because I don't get the tendon that often. You might have just gotten a really just excellent, spot on tendon at Vietnam's Pho. It may not always be that way. So
it could be. Yeah, because when I was at Vietnam's Pho, I kind of got the gimme everything, you know, type sampler. So there was tripe in there, and there was beef in there, and there was tendons. Was there a fourth kind?
There was a meatball of some sort, right? And
yeah, maybe. But, oh, yeah, the tendons were... I mean, they're just... It was, like, the most decadent, luscious little thing, and it was tendon, you know? But when you cook it right, you can really make it tender and delicious.
Was the broth as anisey?
Yeah, it was anisey. Yeah. Probably not as anisey as the Vietnam's pho. Still very good. They have plastic... chopsticks, you know, better for the environment, I guess, if you don't count the production costs. But very slippery.
Mm.
Very hard to use. I mean, yeah. For someone who's not a pro, I'm decent. I can eat noodles and rice with wooden chopsticks, but it was hard with the plastic.
No one uses plastic chopsticks in the Orient. That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
They use, because stuff doesn't stick to plastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my hand was very tired because you have to squeeze a lot more. And so if I have my choice, I'll be going back to Vietnam's pho. Prices weren't too much more expensive. The prices were reasonable. It's just, you know, it's definitely a fancier place, where Vietnam's pho is like, you know, it was redecorated in like 1978.
Yeah.
You know, maybe 1984.
And there's no, they don't accept credit cards and, you know, it's all cash and everything. But
yeah.
We've said before, hole-in-the-wall places can have delicious food.
Yep. So now, yeah, maybe those tendons will be my white whale. I'll be searching them out for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. That would suck. That would be so sad if that's the case.
It's your heroin. You can never quite get that high.
That first high.
Yeah.
First bite of tendon.
let's see. So that the VE, and there was also a place near VE called Chalet Premier, which is notable because it has a decent selection, not nearly as much as VE. I mean, not nearly as many stuff, but there's a decent selection of relatively new.
Sounds like a place that would be pretty bottles. Good if it wasn't 5 minutes from VE.
Yeah, and cheaper. Yeah, if it was like around here, it'd be awesome. But yeah, and the stuff was generally it was cheaper, it was like $2 or $3 cheaper. But It's more of a place to, I think, check first, look for stuff, find stuff there, and then go to VE afterwards and see what else is available. Because it's going to be cheaper at Chalet, but then there's going to be more availability at VE.
Yeah. I haven't been to the Chalet, I've been to VE, but very cool.
So, let's see. Well, Jeff got a whole spew from my. There's a family thing going on. One of my grandparents is going through the last part of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's. It's, you know, it's one of those things where you can't knock a 90-year-old or a 90-year-old life.
I mean, she's allowed to be cranky. No, or whatever you're about to say, she's allowed to. She's done it. She's been there.
No, that's not what I'm trying to say. What I mean is that it's hard. I mean, I don't feel devastated about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's had a long life. She's been telling me she's been in pain and wanting to die for 10 years now. So I'm not like, oh my God, it's actually starting to happen now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's in some ways it's good. She gets to leave.
Right.
But it's weird timing because my parents are about to go on a 2-week Alaska trip, and then Saver's coming up, and who knows when this will happen. It's a bunch of stage 4 cancers in various places, but not in places where it's necessarily next week it'll happen, but it's less than a couple months away.
Right, yeah. I was telling Greg, and this was a long time ago. This was back in the 80s, late 80s, maybe the very, very, like 90, 91. But my grandparents were living in Florida and, you know, got a call. Nanny, found, you know, they found some blood in her urine, took her to the hospital. And found all kinds of cancer everywhere. And that's all I remember from, you know, I was 13, 14, 15, somewhere in there. Mom went to Florida, and she was dead within a week. So it was very quick when they actually... And she was fine until then, or at least as far as we knew. You know, I don't know if she was ignoring symptoms or, you know, hiding from it. But so, I mean, that's... We've talked about this before. I mean, that's kind of the way to go. Have a very good quality of life, and then fall off a cliff. Yeah. You know, just have your health deteriorate right away and die.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way I want to go. I want to be relatively mobile, healthy, cognizant until I'm not.
Yeah. Then don't drag it out for a year. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like she's chemotherapy, radiation would kill her. There's no point in doing that. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to do any of that. You know, it wouldn't be effective in her colon anyway, which is where the majority of it is. She's just, you know, she's reached the end. The body is not powerful enough to hold off anymore, and this is what happens.
Yeah,
we're made of meat. This is where we all go.
Yep.
Shrug.
It's been a long, you know, a lot of my grandparents died when I was pretty young. So I haven't had any close relatives die in, you know, quite a while. My dad's brother died a couple years ago, but he really wasn't that close. He, kind of guy I never married. He went to Vietnam and he never came, he didn't come back quite right. You know, he had PTSD, uh-huh. Even though I guess at that point it was, battle fatigue syndrome for uh-huh. Vietnam. Right. And, He was an interesting fellow, though. He took a little bit of interest in me and, like, you know, told me, you know, wanted me to be think slide rule doing calculus type engineer. You know, that's so he was always like, we were always talking about math. And like when I was taking calculus in school, he was pretty interested in it, you know. And, actually, it would have been nice if he was more, he was a pretty interesting guy. It would have been nice if he wasn't such a recluse. You know, because, I mean, he was interested when he was around, but he wasn't around very often type thing. And he had liver cancer or something like that. I don't think he was much of a drinker, but he had liver cancer and died.
Who knows what he was exposed to in Vietnam?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he might have worked, you know, asbestos doesn't lead to liver cancer, but I'm sure he's worked some factory milled jobs and things like that as well. So I'm sure he wasn't exposed to great things there either. But yeah, my grandparents died when my grandmother, the one I talked about earlier, died. I knew I was supposed to be sad, but I wasn't really sad. So I remember like trying to make myself sad. When my grandpa died, her husband, that was the year I was graduating. So it was 1995. And, I don't know, that one really hurt. That one really hit me hard.
This is a wonderful conversation. I'm sure we're cheering lots of people up.
I don't know. He was great. He always had stories. Yeah. We'd sit around the table and he would just tell story after story about growing up. I'm like, my life is so boring compared to all the stories he had. I have no good stories to tell, really. I mean, maybe a few, but nothing like he had. Maybe he was making it all up, but I mean, he lived.
So he was a good storyteller.
He was a great storyteller. I mean, but he had stuff, and I never saw the man drink anything other than coffee or beer. So it's kind of not a surprise he died from a heart attack. I would have loved to gone out and got a beer with him, had him taste my homebrew. You know, things like that would have been very awesome. But, oh well.
Oh well. On to more happier things.
But why?
Lots of the TV shows that you love have been renewed.
That's awesome.
Pretty much every one of them.
Desperate Housewives? Tell me Desperate Housewives is getting another season.
I think that was the last season, so no.
Damn.
But, you know, Community, Parks, I don't know, what did you watch?
I don't know. I mean, I just watch the same old shows. I watch Community, 30 Rock, The Office.
30 Rock is getting a 13-episode final season. Community right now is getting a 13-episode, possibly final season. Office is getting probably a final season.
Mm-hmm.
Parks and Rec is getting a 22-episode. Who knows?
Right.
Other shows. What did you watch?
Yeah. I watched the second or third episode of Veep.
Veep has already been renewed for second season.
Okay. It's third episode's not quite as good as the first two, but it's still worth it type thing. But the first two were like they put all their great shit in the first two, I think, to kind of give it a front end load to do that renewal or something. And third episode's good, so we'll see how it goes from there. It's just that awkward.
Game of Thrones is renewed. Everything got renewed. Sometimes for shorter seasons, some of them, but gotcha. Everything got renewed.
Yeah, I guess it's summertime. I guess the shows are going to be all over soon.
Yeah,
huh?
Next week is the last. They're actually airing three episodes of Community next week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So what happened is they're originally going to air. Yeah, because Community got held up for the hiatus, and so they have some episodes left over. They're originally going to air an episode. There's the 1 hour. Or two episodes together, which make for the finale, and they're originally going to air that the next week, and air the season finale of Awake this week, this coming week. But Awake is doing so poorly that next week is the last week of sweeps, and so they want to get something in there that's going to perform better than Awake will. Awake is doing like 0.5s, and Community at least is getting like 1.6s. So they're going to throw Community out there and so they can get better ratings for the period than they would have for the Wake. So,
well, that's a good endorsement, right? Using Community, the show we like, to get ratings.
Well, it's more along. I mean, you want to say yay, they're using Community, but really, it's like, well, this is going to do better than that one, and this is what we have. These are our options.
Well, as long as they don't get anything better, right?
Yeah. Some of the pilots look very, very interesting. Some of the pilots look really weird. Like one of the new NBC comedy pilots is about a veterinarian who's like House, who loves the animals but hates the humans. There's one about a White House, a crazy family that lives in the White House, and they're white. And I don't know. There's one about Anne Heche is crazy, and that's not like just Anne Heche is crazy, but that's actually the plot.
So she's playing crazy. Herself?
She's playing somebody who talks to God or thinks she talks to God, and we don't know whether she actually talks to God.
What's crazy about that, man?
But she thinks she has, like, a purpose or... I don't know. It's called Save Me. It looks stupid, but what do I know?
Right.
I know it's going to fail. That's what I know.
I'm trying to look through news here. There's nothing interesting in technology going on right now. Blah, blah, blah. Where's the science news? That's what I wanted. This is the science news. Why is there no science?
Science stopped this week. There was no science because Obama just announced that he's gay.
How about those that new Mayan mural saying got another 7,000 years?
Thank you. Oh, finally. Oh, what a big weight off my chest. It's actually not going to end in 2012.
Because the Mayans were authoritative about the end of the world.
Yeah. The Mayans were a really weird civilization. They loved counting, and they loved taking people's hearts out while they were still alive.
The Mayans did that? I thought the Aztecs did that. I guess, no, I guess the Mayans did.
Yeah.
It was the other ones that were kind of peaceful, right? The Aztecs, the Mayans, and the... There's another big civilization. I think in Peru, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know much about
it. We had to learn all those for a year. Like, I don't know, it seemed like a year in school, but maybe it was just like a week. What was I going to say about the Mayans?
Frankly, none of them were all that peaceful. Let's be honest here.
They had lots of gold, and they were nice and to each other, and except for all those virgins they sacrificed until the Spanish came and sacrificed all that.
You could be really primitive and still be really horrible to each other.
Sure. I had a durian milkshake today.
Yes, durian fruit.
The stinky fruit.
Big, honking, stinky fruit that...
The waitress was funny. The waitress was like, "Oh, you finished it. Did you like it?" Like, but more like quite inquisitive, like, "You actually liked it?" She's like, "Some people find it's too strong." I'm like, "Well, I knew I was getting into something unusual when I ordered it." And, I mean, flavor-wise, Greg asked, "What did it taste like?" To me, it tasted like a milkshake. It was mostly ice cream and other things. But there was, I guess, a little bit of an almond taste. But there was something maybe I don't want to say onion, because onion takes it in the wrong direction, but it was something vaguely reminiscent of onions, but not too...
Was it like a sweet?
Sweet, but with a little bit of...
Sulfury?
Maybe a little touch of sulfuriness to it. The aroma on it, though, there was a lot of... See, when I say a lot of sulfur, I think egg or something, but that's really not it. But there was a lot of solventy, eggy... the aroma was... It's like, really? You're supposed to eat this? I can just imagine opening up a fresh fruit. You can't really do it inside. You got to take them outside to crack them open.
I was going to buy you that one before it was $20 and you had to keep it refrigerated.
Yeah. We'll get one someday. Try some fresh whole durian.
You make me scared. I'm scared of that.
I didn't get to appreciate the texture. Apparently, it has a very weird texture. You know, something kind of like... It's hard. I really couldn't come up with a good... I was talking to couldn't really come up with a good analogy. I'm like, how about like a really like overripe, gushy banana? And he's like, kinda.
Kinda. Well.
So, yeah, durian fruit.
Something to try someday. I have other things to talk about, but they're just going to take up more time.
You have to save them.
And I kind of want to save them.
Okay, we can start drinking beer. We don't have to drag this out.
Yeah. Like, have you seen the Time magazine cover that there's all this fuss about now?
No. I feel like I'm disconnected from the news since NPR is on their pledge drive week, and I've been listening to not NPR. Because I'm a good person like that. When they start asking for money, I turn it off.
Here is the Time magazine cover.
Oh, sweet.
It's a toddler sucking on a mom's breast.
And well, other than the boy looking like he's five, I mean...
I think he is, or he's four or something.
That's
And so it's something about... I guess the article's about, are you, you know, is it okay to keep breastfeeding, you know, after they're, you know, 3 or 4 years old, and, you know, up to that point or beyond, and...
Mm-hmm.
And it's like...
It's a good way to burn calories for the mom.
It's like, you know, if that's what the... If that's what works for you, whatever.
Just kind of weird. When the kid can say, hey, mom, pull out your tit. I'm thirsty.
Well, it's kind of, I mean, it's kind of a, it's more of a nurturing thing than it is a, it's not a sexual thing in any means.
No, it's not sexual, but you got to wonder when the kid's going to be able to remember that when he's an adult, if it's a little too long.
Why would it be?
I don't know. Good point. I mean, other than just because it's against the more, you know, the norm, which isn't a good reason.
Exactly.
We'd have to do a study to see what kind of freak jobs.
Yeah.
Who produces more freak jobs? The ones that stop breastfeeding earlier, the ones that breastfeed until the, you know, kid can remember way into adulthood.
I think what people are more complaining about, and I think the rightful complaining about, is how staged and weird the picture looks, is it doesn't present a very nurturing environment. They're both sort of looking at the camera instead of, you know, looking at each other and mm-hmm. doing nurturing. So it's more like she's demonstrating, look at how much of a mommy I am. And he's like, check out this tit I'm sucking on, as opposed
it's too tiny to be making milk, man. Look at those.
Well, I think the whole point is not necessarily that it's, he's getting milk. It's more like a binky.
Oh.
I don't know whether... I mean, 4 years on, do you lactate?
If you keep feeding continuously, you will. It's kind of like a cow. If you keep it up...
I thought they keep cows pregnant.
No, they... When they get pregnant, the milk would dry up. So they have them deliver, and then they keep milking them, and then... I read up on this. I was curious. And I want to say that they can keep the cow producing milk for 2 years, mm-hmm. I think. And then, you know, then it'll come up again. It's been a long time. But I was curious about how that process worked, right? Because obviously the cow had to give birth before they would start lactating. They're not just magical milk machines. But they kind of are magical milk machines because they make a lot of milk for a long time.
That was interesting. The really interesting thing to me is that my sister wrote a novel, a fiction novel, of a year or so ago, sort of about this very thing and a mommy war going on between breastfeeders, you know, public breastfeeders and not so public breastfeeders.
Okay,
and sort of satirical novel, and now that was coming into play, so she might actually get some more sales. It was a Kindle, you know, Kindle only thing. Mm-hmm. But because you can self-publish now, you can do that.
Right.
So it's called Milkshake is the name of the book.
Nice. So, all right, let's wrap this up and drink.
All right, let's drink some beer.